This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. After half a year out of work, the more than 1,200 gas workers locked out by National Grid have a new contract. Union leaders and representatives from the company reached a tentative agreement last week on a deal that would replace the contract that expired in June when negotiations broke down. And today, a majority of the membership of the locked out unions approved the negotiated contract in separate votes. Joe Curlow is the president of one of those locked out unions.
Clearly, it's a weight lifted off everybody's shoulders. And when I do say everybody, it's all the people that worked will be able to go back and provide a living for their families.
WBUR's Bruce Gellerman has followed the contract dispute and resulting lockout since June and was at the first union vote today. Bruce, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Cal.
Also joining us by phone is Professor Robert Forent. He's a professor of labor history at UMass Lowell. Professor, you welcome also back to Radio Boston.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So, Bruce, you were at the meeting hall in Dorchester today, which I understand was a bit of a wild goose chase to find it, but find it you did, and the union negotiated the contract, ratified it this morning. What was that scene like?
Well, it was a lot like a tailgate party at a football game in the parking lot. Yeah, so it was kind of fun outside, and then it was much more serious inside. There were hundreds of people milling around this meeting hall, waiting for the vote count to see how it turned out. There were representatives of National Grid. No, there were no representatives of National Grid there. But, you know, there was anticipation and then relief and then the sense of now what? It was because there was a lot of unknowns. This contract is over a half an inch in depth, so it's a lot going on in this contract.
Thick stack of paper there.
A lot of going on there.
So a lot in there. And one of the things that was striking, Bruce, even though the negotiated tentative deal was last week, we didn't have any leaks over the weekend of what was actually in the thing. So what actually do we know now after they've voted?
Yeah, the union and utility really had this tight. They really kept the lid on it. It was very, very impressive, actually, in some ways, because I've been following it very closely. So what's in it is a couple of things. One is starting soon this week, they're going to start what they call onboarding people who are locked out and getting them recertified for those credentials they need to do certain jobs. Everybody's going to be back on the job by January 20th. And but, you know, in the contract itself, there were a lot of concessions. The big concession on the part of the unions was that new hires are going to not get the same retirement plan, the pension that old workers have gotten. That's a big one. But the union was able to claw back a lot of things in there so that these union workers will get a better, longer health care after they wind up leaving the company. They'll have higher raises. They're going to get like 27% over the next 5.5 years. So there was, you know, increased life insurance benefits, sick benefits beefed up. So there's a lot of give and take in this.
And we heard also from some union workers who, you know, they're happy to see the end of it, right? But they're not exactly thrilled. This wasn't a unanimous vote, right?
It wasn't a unanimous vote. It was like 560-something or other to 125 against. I spoke with a guy named Joe Faraday. He was a 10-year veteran of National Grid. He actually voted against the contract, but he says he recognized the difficulties that the bargainers faced in the negotiation process.
The committee and the union did absolutely the best that they could, and they fought as hard as they could for the next generation, for the new workers coming in. You know, it was a fair compromise overall.
Yeah, but, you know, it was a grueling. That's one of the words that people use, mentally grueling. You know, here you had kind of a David and Goliath situation. You had this local unions, steel workers, and a multinational company with billions in revenues. So, you know, even for people who didn't like the end result, they feel they fought hard for the benefits, and they obviously overwhelmingly voted support it.
Professor Forent, let me bring you into the conversation. You've also been following this contract dispute closely, and I wonder if you could sort of help play referee here, because I feel like we're in the spin room after debate. You know, both sides are going to say that they won. So in your view, who actually won this negotiation?
I think in the near term, at least, again, until we can fully see what's inside the document, I actually think the union came out ahead. I went back through my files and looked at originally what National Grid said it wanted back when they locked the workers out, and they had to compromise on a good deal of it. They also had to agree to add new jobs that had been outsourced before. So there's about, I think, 45, at least from what I've been able to see so far, 45 to 50 new hires, which is significant. A lot of the things that they wanted to take away from new workers, some of those things are put in place, but not in the incredibly negative way that they wanted them. And so I think the fact that the company used the lockout for 6 months to try to completely overhaul a union contract, and in many respects, from the labor side, gut a lot of the principles of the contract, I don't think that National Grid can walk around thinking that they succeeded.
So, Bruce, Professor Foran says the union actually came out ahead here, but I'm mindful of the fact that these workers went months without their health insurance and paychecks. I mean, what was the toll like for them and their families?
Well, you know, some of it was mitigated because they had unemployment insurance, and then the main union, the steelworkers union, actually helped them pay some of them their health benefits. But I did speak to one of them, one worker, her name was Terry Davis, and she said you know, she didn't think it was going to last that long, and she said it, you know, really started taking a toll on her health.
It was hard because I had no health care at the beginning. And long story short, and I'm not afraid to tell anyone, I became diabetic and on insulin when they shut off the insurance and I didn't have anything and wound up almost paying out of pocket $800 for insulin for 30 days.
Cal, you hear a lot of stories like that when, you know, everybody has a story. So it's, you know, well, there were 1,250 locked out workers. You know, the impact was very real on these people and their families.
And Professor Foran, you know, there was a lot of political pressure during this process to get a deal done, especially recently. You know, at one point in the fall, you had the Department of Public Utilities placing a 10-week moratorium on new gas work by National Grid. That was after an overpressurization incident in Woburn. And then more recently, the legislature passed a bill that would have put National Grid on the hook for the workers' unemployment benefits going forward. So did that pressure ultimately make the difference here?
I think the pressure helped a little bit, but I think that the fact that National Grid went to the dramatic step that they did of locking the workers out. So this is not a strike in the normal sense of the company wants to stay open or whatever and the workers are walking away. This is the company locking those workers out, cutting the health insurance, impacting the people, as we just heard. I'm actually, frankly, surprised that there was not more political pressure put on National Grid. But I think this is a sign of the times of more and more of public utilities and other services like this being sort of gobbled up by bigger outside corporations who don't necessarily share the same pain. If this had been a locally owned utility, it probably would have felt the weight of the legislature a bit more than it did in this particular case.
Bruce, do the workers feel that? I mean, do they wish that they had gotten more help from public officials to put pressure on?
Well, they were putting pressure on the DPU from the very start and showing videos of things they alleged that there were work hazards in there being done by replacement workers. But I think when Governor Weld at the very end of December signaled that he was going to sign an extension of unemployment benefits, that was really it, because then it could have gone on another half year and nobody wanted that. And the union was going to have to pay, not the union, the utility was going to have to pay for that.
Governor Baker, of course.
Yes.
We're flashing way back here now.
Where did I go?
To Governor Weld.
Oh, my gosh.
You're showing your age, Bruce.
I just saw the red hair flash before me.
We'll jump in that river when we get to it.
Thank you both, gentlemen. That is WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, who's been following this story for months now. Bruce, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
And thanks also to Professor Robert Forant, a professor of labor history at UMass Lowell.
Thanks.